So if you look at the logic of the Ngundro practices, you'll see that each of the Ngundro practices, because in a way it's a whole array of practices that are packaged together, each of the practices in the Ngundro path has a different way of supporting nature of mind practice. So I've mentioned a number of times now how the Ngundro practices have a way of working at the level of habit and conditioning. They're essentially loosening up the hardened soil of our mind so that we're more receptive to these teachings. We're more receptive to seeing this fullness of being, our own true nature, the pure nature of awareness. So if you take a practice like Vajrasattva, on the surface of it, when you, at first glance, if you're not familiar with the different elements of Vajrayana practice, it can seem a bit bewildering. So you do this practice where you're visualizing Vajrasattva, who is the embodiment of purity, essentially. So you're imagining this being that to you embodies the innate purity of Buddha nature. And in a way, it's meeting us where we are on the path, because we might have heard teachings about innate purity. We might have an intellectual understanding of the idea of the purity of awareness or the purity of Buddha nature. But realistically, most of us, when we sit down to practice, we have a very deeply ingrained habit to be relating to our experience as a series of problems that we're trying to fix. So even if we're learning to relax and let be, there's oftentimes this subtle twiddling of the knobs of experience. We could have a little less thought, a little more of this emotion, a little less of that emotion, and we're not used to actually trusting the wisdom of our experience. So Vajrasattva, as an example of the logic of Ngundro, it meets us where we are. It's essentially saying, okay, you have this habit of mind, this emotional habit of relating to your experience as though who you are and what you are is incomplete or insufficient. There's a problem in you that needs to be fixed. That's what you think. So it's giving us this practice where we're imagining Vajrasattva and we're imagining this nectar flowing through the body and as a way to let go of all these things where we think we're stuck, where we think we have these negative habits, we have these things we've done and said and thought that we're just letting go of that again and again and again. So it's engaging us where we are, which is, again, we think we have all these problems to fix. And we couldn't possibly be awake or enlightened until we get rid of all these problems, right? So it's giving us something to work with. But at the same time, it's slowly, almost beneath the surface, opening us up to the idea that actually there's something in us that has been pure all along, that has never made any worse, no matter what thought we think or emotion we have or action we take, that has never been defiled or impure. So the practices, like all the practices in the Vajrayana tradition, it ends with Vajrasattva not above us or outside of us, but where Vajrasattva dissolves into light, melts into us, and we realize that actually that innate purity that we were visualizing in the form of Vajrasattva actually is us. That our own mind actually is innately, inherently pure. So the practice, each of these Ngundro practices in a different way, has a way of meeting us on the path and engaging a particular habit of mind, the habit of seeing ourselves in the world as impure or incomplete or insufficient. But then also the flip side of that is then opening us up into a particular aspect of our own nature. So in this case, the innate purity of our mind. And in practice, in any given session, we're moving back and forth between these two. The old habit reemerges, and there we are impure, thinking of all these problems and all these things, and we're engaging that, and then letting go and letting be, and again, opening up to the possibility that actually there is no problem, that we've been pure all along, and we just haven't known where to look or how to look. So similarly, mandala practice is another beautiful example of this. We start from the place of thinking we don't have enough. We are not internally, there's some sense of lack. And you can look around this world, you can drive down the street and see how many messages we're constantly getting that are telling us that we don't have enough, we are not enough, we need something, we need to be somewhere else, we need to be with someone else, we need to have a different job or have a different set of experiences, and then everything will be okay. So we're constantly getting this messaging that's reinforcing this idea of not having enough, not being enough, kind of a poverty, a deep, almost fundamental sense of being impoverished. So it's meeting us at that level where we are, and it's giving us something to do that begins to loosen up that habit. So in the case of mandala, it's just giving, it's imagining the most expansive thing we could ever imagine. All the wonderful things that come to mind, instead of thinking we need to take that in, we imagine sending that back out. We imagine offering it. And then we move to the inner mandala, our own positive attributes, our body, the things we cherish, the things we hold dear, the things we're afraid of losing. We imagine sharing that. We imagine offering that. So again, it meets us where we are on the path, but then it opens us up into an experience, not even an understanding or a theory, but as a felt, embodied experience, where we start to see slowly that we're giving, we're sharing, but through that, we're not feeling depleted or diminished. We're actually getting in touch with a part of ourselves that can never be depleted. And that the more that we give, the more clearly that comes into view. So again, we have this practice that's working on the relative level with these habits of mind, these emotional habits, but then at a deeper level that's opening us up into an aspect of our own true nature. In this case, a sense of inner richness, a sense, a part of our being, the quality of our being that can never be diminished in any way, but that through giving and sharing, it helps us to see that, to actually feel that and experience it. So in a way, these practices are a way to listen deeply to our own experience. We're tuning in. We're almost attuning to different aspects of our experience, both the habits, again, that get us stuck, but then what's beneath those habits and what's infusing those habits that oftentimes is just out of the field of vision. We don't quite see it, even though we might sense it or intuit that there's something more possible here. So that's the general logic of the Ngundo practice, working both at the more relative level with habit, but then in a very powerful way, when we do a practice like Vajrasattva or Guru Yoga or the Four Thoughts, we work with that level of habit. And then when we let go and we just rest and do these nature of mind practices, there's a clarity, a confidence, a sense of receptivity that is not as available to us prior to doing those practices. So it can seem when you do Ngundo, I know for me, it oftentimes seems like the practices are bringing more up, like my mind is busier or emotions that I didn't even know I had start emerging. And it can feel at times even like you're going backwards in practice. But actually what's going on is that Ngundo is really doing its work and it's getting at this hardened layer that oftentimes when we're just resting in shamatha, for example, it's there. But we have a way of almost smoothing it over, and the surface is so hardened that we can almost feel like, okay, it's, you know, even though it's there's sort of a rigidity and a stuckness beneath it, sort of the veneer seems very polished and smooth. So Ngundo is messy. It has a way of kind of breaking things up and getting the whole system moving. And at times it's disruptive, at times it really feels tumultuous. But there's something very rich and beautiful happening within that. So a lot of it is learning to trust and listen and simply open up into that flow of experience.